Indeed. It has been quite a week. Quite a week. All kinds of things going on. Competition sounded like it went very well. Tuck is doing great. He's back home. And he felt like he didn't want to overdo it today. So he's going to take it easy. And I know his heart's with us. And he might even be watching on video. And we're certainly thankful for God answering prayer in his behalf. And I pray that he continues to get stronger and stronger every day. And by January 1st, he'll be able to run a marathon. So we'll see what happens. Yes, amen to that. So it is great to be here. Thanks so much for coming this morning. What a wonderful opportunity to study the Word of God together and to see what God has for us. And I have something special. Someone asked me a question this week. I don't even remember who it was, but I thought, hey, that might be a good thing to look at for today. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then I'll share with you what that question was. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for meeting our needs. We thank you for Tuck and the fact that you placed your mighty hand upon him and guided the hands of the surgeons to do exactly what was needed. And Father, I pray that he'll continue to heal, that there won't be any complications or problems with the surgery, but that his body will heal the way that it should, and that, Father, he'll have the movement and the freedom of pain that is fully expected by the doctors, and that, Father, that all things will work out for your honor and for your glory, that he'll be able to get back to work as planned on the date that was planned, and that, Father, everything will go well, and Father, we'll certainly praise you for it. I pray for the two ladies in the church who are pregnant. I pray for Nancy and her daughter. I pray, Father, that the that the pregnancy will go well, that the growth will be there as expected, and that both of them will be able to carry their children full term, and that, Father, that the birth will go the way that it should. The babies will be healthy and strong, and Father, we'll certainly praise you for that as well. Father, we pray for those who have COVID and those that we are praying for. Our hearts grieve, and Father, we just pray that soon they'll be able to get their health back. We pray for Pastor Hughes, who has been in the hospital, and I pray, Father, that doctors have been able to help him and get him the medication that he needs, and we know that medication has left today. The virus and the vaccine that President Trump has been pushing, and Father, we just leave this all in your hands. We don't know the future plans. We don't know what's taking place, but Father, you do, and Father, we know that soon Christ is going to return, and Father, we look forward to that day of the rapture when we'll be caught up in the air to spend forever with our Savior. And Father, we just think it's so near. It is so close. And we just pray that even so come, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for the other needs of the church. We think of the food bank and how that went so well on Friday. And Father, I pray that it certainly has met the needs of those who had a need and came and picked up the food, and we just pray it will continue to grow, continue to be a blessing to this community, as well as the sale of items to help the school. And we think, as we think about the school coming up, the Christmas program, Father, I pray that young people will be able to be here, that they'll be healthy, that they will just have a desire to have fun and to minister to the school, as well as the church family, and share with them the real reason for Christmas and the singing and all that's going on, the fun that will take place. We just pray that it'll go according to your plan, according to your will, that we'll see great things take place as a result of that. We also think about the school and the Christian, I call it a Christian convention, headed over to New Mexico for the competition. I pray, Father, that your will be done there, that maybe because of this vaccine, everything will start up and as expected, and that we will be able to go. But if not, we just pray that you will change the schedule to what would be best and what we should do to help. help the kids to be encouraged and excited and to do something that will be educational and help them grow in their walk with you. And Father, we'll certainly praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, the question this morning that I want to share with you is when will the man of sin be revealed? When will the man of sin be revealed? I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible. Join me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And there's a lot of reading here. And then we're going to go through how we can identify that man of sin. He is known as the Antichrist. And we've heard that term before. And but the man of sin's being revealed. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and specifically verse 12. But I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the whole chapter here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the rapture when he will come and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So some believe that that falling away is an error of doctrinal truth, that they're going to have a blinding of the eyes. People are going to say, well, the good is bad and the bad is good. And you see that all over the world today, that things are twisted. And our goal should be to study the Word of God, to understand what God hates and what God loves. And for some reason, people have got that all twisted up. They think that God's word really isn't pertinent to our lives today. And we think about elections, and we think about our government and our voting. And I say to them, you should vote your conscience. And they say, oh, no, God's word doesn't have anything to do with the elections. I say it does. It has a lot of things to do with the election. I mean, if the candidate believes in abortion, don't vote for him. It just doesn't make any sense. And so it's sharing with us here in verse 2 and verse 12. It says a falling away. Now, there are some scholars that believe that that's referring to the rapture. It could also, those words mean a catching up, caught up by because of danger. So it could be referring to a falling away, referring to the rapture first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin is the Antichrist, and this man here, it appears as though he is going to be revealed somewhere around the time when the rapture occurs. Now, when we think about the second coming of Christ, we have the first coming. That's what we are fellowshipping and remembering at the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But his second coming has two events. It has two events. There's two parts of it. First of all, his second coming, the first advent, is that Christ is going to rapture the church out, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet him in the clouds. He's not coming to earth. We're going to meet him in the air. That is the first event. Now, 7 years later, after the tribulation is over, Christ then's coming again on the second event, and that's when he's coming down and touching down on the Mount of Olives, and that he's going to come and rule and reign for 1,000 years. So when you talk about the rapture and you talk about his coming, they're all mixed up as you go through Scripture, because according to the Jews, it's all one event. It's all one thing taking place. So, but first of all, the rapture is going to occur where the Christians, the believers, are going to spend 7 years with our Savior through the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, when we're going to stand before him and give an account for the things that we have done that are good and bad, and that we're going to receive rewards for those things during those 7 years. When you think about the judgment seat of Christ, you think, oh, he's going to judge us. He's going to stomp down on us. No, what the judgment seat of Christ is, it means it's a bima, which is a award ceremony. We're going to receive a reward for the things that we have done. And I believe that the tears that are going to take place are the tears of remorse for the things that we could have gotten if we just would have been more faithful and more true to him. So the judgment seat of Christ, almost when you think about that word, you think, oh, man, you don't want to do that. But rather, it's a bema. We're going to receive rewards for the things that we have done, whether it's good or good for nothing, bad. And so we have this opportunity where we'll spend those 7 years with our Savior at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I don't know, Kevin, do you think they'll have steak there? I don't know. Jesus ate fish, so we think maybe there might be fish there. Well, we'll see. But the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. And it has the idea of marriage in Israel, because when Israel, when a young man, he gets his bride, he goes off, there are trumpets, he's coming, because he's prepared this house for his bride. He goes, gets his bride, brings her back, and for seven days, they're in this marriage feast, and nobody sees the bride until the end. So it's almost like when Christ comes, he's saying, this is my bride, the Savior, and that is at when he comes back with his bride after the 7 years are over. And so it's really exciting how all that ties together. So let's go on. Here in verse 3, it says, a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and altereth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. So you're getting kind of the picture of everything that he's going to do, how we can identify him, showing himself that he is God. So he's going to come. You know, he's always a phony. He's always a counterfeit. He always tries to come in and to appear as the one and true God, but he's not. He's an antichrist. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So he's going to be revealed, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to be here on earth. And you know, when the rapture occurs and the church is gone, all the believers are gone, I believe the Holy Spirit is going as well. And I mean, when the Holy Spirit is gone, there's going to be a holocaust on this world that's never been seen before. I am so glad. Let me say it again. I am so glad I'm not going to be here. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've trusted in him, you're not going to be here. The rapture is going to occur, and the believers, the saints, are going to be gone. And then that wicked be revealed. There's a wicked one whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying and wonders. So he has the working of Satan in him, and I think some of the things the Antichrist is going to do is clear that he's probably indwelt by Satan himself. Satan's probably indwelling him, and we know, and that's probably going to be after the second 3.5 years, because Satan, when he fell, God kicked him out of the presence of God. He's right now in our solar system. He's where the clouds are. That's where his dwelling is. But at the end of the first 3.5 years, when the contract with Israel is broken, Satan then is kicked to earth. He's kicked to earth. And I think that's when he's going to possess the Antichrist. The scripture doesn't tell us that. But the things that he does and the things he's able to do, it kind of seems as though that is what has taken place. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions. Doesn't that sound kind of familiar? I certainly think there's lots of strong delusion today, that they should believe a lie. Oh my goodness, the lies that are going out, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtain of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. So the key verse here is verse 3, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Somewhere along, Satan's going to be revealed. The Antichrist will be revealed. They'll know who he is, whether everybody's going to know or not. But so in the light of this, we should focus on, well, what's he going to be like? What should we look for? Should we be looking for it to see who this man might be? And there are some scholars who have been certainly searching scripture to see what the Antichrist is like. Let's also look in Daniel chapter 11. So we're going to move around here. The Antichrist is referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in Daniel chapter 11, 1 John, as well as 2 John, and in Matthew chapter 24. So let's look at those different verses. Let's look in Daniel chapter 11. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. So Daniel chapter 11. And in Daniel chapter 11, we want to begin reading at verse 36. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. If you have a Ryrie study Bible, the title of this is The Antichrist. So here it is. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 says this: and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Now, here in Daniel, it's referring to an actual king, but he's a kind of a type of Satan. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. So the Antichrist is not going to give any regard to the gods that he grew up with, the gods that his father introduced him to. And it looks as though the god that his father's introduced him to, he just totally ignores and goes a different way. So he doesn't regard the god of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Some believe that he's homosexual and no desire of women at all, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. He's going to make himself to be as God. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with the strong God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. So China from the south is going to come up and push against him in battle. And the king of the north, they're going to come down, shall come against him like a whirlwind with the chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over, and shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So he's gonna fight against the whole world. Everybody's going to be against him, and the whole center of his anger and push is Israel. But Israel is never going to fall. They are not going to fall. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his step. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, between the seas Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So he's going to desecrate the temple. He's going to build up his temple. He's going to make himself to be God. And that's in Daniel chapter 11. Now, in 1 John, as well as in 2 John, we see things like hope in Christ, love not the world, and about the wicked one. So if you turn to 1 John, chapter 1 is referring to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see here. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may be have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Christ and where we stand. And then also in chapter 2, I like looking at verse 18 in chapter 2 that says this, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So when Antichrist has appeared, we know that the time is about to come. Also look at verse 22. It says this, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. So anybody who denies Jesus as Christ, of course, is a liar. He is Antichrist. And that's where the man of sin gets that title, Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. And then we also have chapter 3 referring to that wicked one in verse 12. We could read all these. This is all very interesting and very powerful. So if you get a chance to read 1 John and 2 John today, that would just be awesome. Verse 12 says this, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, but slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So it refers to that evil one, that wicked one. And then chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So Antichrist, when Antichrist is revealed, the coming of Christ is very near. Antichrist, chapter 4, and then also chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. Chapter 5. 18 and 19. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, these verses here, as you study through 1 John as well as 2 John, it says here that we know that whosoever is born of God, in other words, born again, have come to know Christ as their Savior, sinneth not. Now, when you look at that verse, you then think, well, when I fall into sin or I do something wrong, does that mean I'm not saved? No, that's not what it's referring to. It says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That means he continually sins. It's his habit. It's something he always does. So as a believer, when we know Christ is our Savior, our conscience pricks at us, realizing, hey, we're not doing what is right, and that we choose to repent of it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So this is not talking about the fact that when we sin or we make a mistake or we slip with the tongue that, now I must not be of God. I'm not. No, that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to if we continually sin. It's our nature. It's our old nature. In other words, someone that's not saved. So what it's saying here is a born-again believer, our sin is covered by the blood of Christ, and it's not our common desire to remain and to live in sin. Not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So it's talking about we know Christ, our Savior. The wicked one is certainly one to deny and to recognize. Then in 2 John, I want to look at verse 7. that says this: for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So referring to the antichrist, and certainly see that all around us as they deny the truth of God's word. Then Matthew chapter 24. Matthew, book of Matthew. First book in the New Testament, just past Malachi. Matthew. And chapter 24. And here in Matthew chapter 24, we have all things tied together. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1. And I think we should probably read this chapter. As you remember, as I shared with you before, the second coming of Christ is in two advance. First of all, Christ is going to come. He's going to meet the saints in the air at the rapture. The trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be raptured out in a twinkling of an eye. All those in the grave will go first, and then those who are still alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air, and then we're going to be with him for 7 years, and then after that, Christ is going to return with his saints. Somewhere along there, I'm going to have to learn to ride a horse. Yes, so we're going to come back riding horses. I'll get together with Chuck. Chuck, you'll teach me to ride a horse. So we'll come back. We'll come back with him riding on horses, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That is so exciting. I'm looking forward to that day. And so in this chapter, they're kind of interwoven, kind of looking overlooked. So some have drawn a picture. They have a valley here, and then they have the kingdom, and there's so much going on in that valley. There's two things with the advent, two things. So here we go. Matthew chapter 24 says this: and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not that these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that's AD 70 when the temple is destroyed. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. That's Antichrist. And shall deceive many. And he shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. Have you heard about wars lately? Rumors of wars? Yeah. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Now that word nation is the idea of ethnic groups. Ethnic groups are going to rise up against ethnic groups. Now there's only one race, and that's called the human race. We're all the same color. All of us have olive skin. And you know, some people, they tell me that I am white, but really I am an olive color. And to prove you that I'm not white, look at this. Do I look white to you? I am not white. I am olive color. Some people have more melanin in their skin than others. And so the more melanin that they have, the darker their skin is. We're all olive color. We're all one race, and Christ died for us all. But it shares with us that there is turmoil in the world today because of skin color. It is ethnic group will rise against ethnic group, and kingdom against kingdom, and there should be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Wow, you see it every day. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to the affliction, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them watch. Be in Judah, flee into the mountains. Let him watch is on the housetop, not come down to take anything out of his house. So the Jews are going to run into the mountains, and that's going to be in the middle of the tribulation when the treaty is broken, and they're going to run for their lives. And personally, I think they're going to go to Petra. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except that those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and sitteth on every, setteth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever or wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken. This is God's judgment upon the earth because of their sin during the tribulation. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes and earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together, and his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Now, I think personally that this is referring to the rapture, meeting the Lord in the air. But continue reading on. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. His word will always remain true. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, now we're going back to when Christ is going to come and rule and reign in heaven. The days of Noah. Think about the days of Noah. When Noah was here on earth, what happened to those who remained and they were on the ark? Well, those on the ark, those who remained, they were saved, right? But those who were judged all died, right? So in the days of Noah, those still on earth are those going into the millennial reign of Christ. But those judged are going to die, and they're going to be judged and sent to hell. So in the days of Noah, this is not referring to the rapture here. The rapture is up above in verse 30. This is referring to us going into the millennial reign of Christ. Even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So those who are taken away are those who are judged and sent to hell. Those who remain on earth are those who will go into the millennial reign of Christ. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, I don't want to be that one, and the other left, to go into the millennial reign of Christ. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken into judgment, and the other left, going to the millennial reign of Christ. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered this house to be broken up. So we want to be watchful. We want to watch for the return of Christ. And one of the things that we should be watchful for, is the Antichrist. What is he going to be like? What is he going to do? So if you have a piece of paper, write some of these things down. Number one, the first thing to be looking for is one who is self-exalting. He is uninterested in sharing the stage with anyone else. He is God. He is supreme. He's going to rule everyone and is not afraid to remind us of his highness at any given opportunity. That's found in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 4. He's also deceptive. This is usually associated with lying and misleading people, which is certainly part of it. However, it is more fundamental than that. The word used here literally means hidden truth. So he is mysterious or hidden about who he is, where he is from, and what his agenda is. So that's the Antichrist. Number one, he is self-exalting. Secondly, he's deceptive. Thirdly, he abandons the God of his fathers. Remember, we looked at that in Daniel 11:38. He readily walks away from the religious practices of his predecessors. This could refer to those of his family relationships, or those of his people, tribe, or nation, or both. Essentially, he holds no religious allegiances. So he's self-exalting, he's deceptive, he abandons all the gods of his fathers or his nation or his tribe or where he's from or his family. And then fourthly, he is lawless. That is, he has a fundamental disregard for the law of the land, for he is a law unto himself. So he does all those things. And then also, number five, he opposes the one true God. He doesn't believe that he exists. And certainly you can see that in the teachings of the world today, because that's what evolution is all about. That is what climate change is all about. That is their God. And there is no God that created this world. He opposes the one true God. This is where his title Antichrist is derived from. Ultimately, he opposes all who worship any God with radical exclusivity. Just as he is a law unto himself, so he is a God unto himself. And that's basically what atheists are. They do believe in a God, and that's themselves. And then number six, he does what he wants. So if he doesn't like what people are saying, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Related to the two immediately preceding, he has no qualms of imposing his will upon the world with disregard for the opinions, views, or facts he confronts. He seems to have unlimited ambition. And then he prospers. He is beyond normal success as a result of hard work, wisdom, or even luck. It is described meteoric success or an international level with seemingly no serious opposition, or at least none that is unable to overcome. And that's in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. And then he speaks blasphemies, the attributes, the works of God to others, denies reality of the incarnation, and accepts the adoration of men. He attributes the work of God to others. He speaks blasphemies. And then he honors a God of fortresses. And this is Daniel chapter 11, verse 38. This is a lot of conjecture about this one. The man of sin will bring this God to light. Eventually, it is a God previously unknown. Rather than trying to ID this God, perhaps it is better to notice that he does in the name of this God, or what he does, better to notice what he does in the name of this God. He attacks fortresses, he advances the God of the world, and he both gives it the world's wealth and uses it to make a profit from the world. Daniel chapter 11. And then Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, he manipulates the world's economies. That's a good one to know about. Obviously, this is directly connected to the above. His financial influence will be unprecedented, but it will not be his idea, but that of his God. And then 11, he does not regard the desires of women. If not a homosexual himself, which is very likely one of his hidden truths, he is a strong advocate for the protection and proliferation of homosexuality. Simultaneous, he is working against God's design of family, one man, one woman. And then number 12, he will negotiate a Middle East peace treaty. It will be 7 years in the length and will be far-ranging geographically, with the exception of Jordan. So other notes on this site, it will grant Israel a part of the Temple Mount and will be violated at its midpoint. And then last of all, number 13, found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, he will sit in the temple of Israel as God. Again, the desolation of the temple as a violation of the treaty is the apex of the man of sin's power and control. This is not something the church should anticipate seeing during her age. The prior dozen evidence, however, should be anticipated and recognized by the church in preparation for Christ's coming. Advancing the watch. Antichrist. I hope that answered the question. Kind of give us a little bit of an idea what we're looking for. I have heard, and it's still very possible. I have heard that Obama feels most, if not all, of these steps. And we might think, but he's not in leadership. But he has not. Yep, he has not stepped out of the way. He's still in Washington. He's not one to forget about. He's still there. And it's interesting. It's interesting. So that's what we should be watching for, considering, and thinking about. And if you would like to have a copy of this and for your notes, I think I can probably pull one out somewhere. And certainly something to consider that, yes, Christ's return is soon. It is very, very near. The man of sin, we don't know who he is, but he certainly seems like we could kind of point some fingers to. And certainly not something to announce to the world, hey, he's Antichrist, but to recognize who he is. And when Christ returns, that is one of the forerunners of his return. And but on saying that, we also know that we have no idea when Christ is going to return. It could happen at any time. It could happen anytime. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. There's absolutely nothing that has to take place before Christ can return. Because after Christ returns, the temple could be built. Satan will then desecrate it, and through the Antichrist, nothing has to happen before his return. So the question right now is, are you ready? Are you ready? It could happen at any time, and it's important to be ready and to know where we stand before the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today and for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there are many, 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 many antichrists in the world today. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, anyone who denies that Christ rose again, is an antichrist. Certainly not the man of sin that's in reference here, but that day is certainly coming very near. We see it all around us. We see what Antichrist wants to do. It's being completed. It's being thought of. It's being pushed. And Father, we can see it all around us. And we say this morning, even so come, Lord Jesus, maybe today, maybe today. And Father, I pray that each one here today is ready for that day, ready for the day when Christ returns. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed, free to get a drink, stretch a little bit, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come. Yeah?